Matthew and chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the subject before us this evening is the greatest invitation of all time. The Lord Jesus had been preaching a message of reproof to the proud Pharisees of the day. These Pharisees had rejected Jesus. They were content with and they preferred to hold on to their traditions. They had developed a manual of do's and don'ts, of rules and regulations. And this was a manual prepared in their own wisdom and their own understanding of how to follow God. And in their pride, they had thought they had fixed a way to be right with God. And they despised others as sinners. But Jesus showed how they had foolishly rejected his forerunner, John the Baptist, in his ministry of repentance. And now they were continuing that rejection by rejecting the most important person of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because these Pharisees had no time for real religion. They had no time for a faith which was heartfelt. It was all in the mind. And Jesus then proceeded to reprove those cities wherein he had done many miracles and wherein he had preached. And their hearts also remained unmoved. Their hearts remained hardened. Their hearts remained cynical and jealous. And in pride, missed the vital point. These miracles, these mighty miracles that Jesus had done in their presence were pointed to him as the Savior, the Messiah, the one who could save them from their sin. But they remained hardened. And Jesus then makes a statement which I believe to be one of the most searching statements in all Scripture. These people, having rejected him, despite his miraculous works and despite his teaching, would face far greater judgment than the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah on the great day of judgment. This statement is a solemn reminder to us this evening of the privilege and the responsibility of hearing the word of God. And really, friends, if you hear the word of God and you've been privileged to sit under the word of God and you've heard the gospel and you've hardened your heart and you die in that condition, your punishment eternally will be worse than those in Sodom and Gomorrah who had never heard the gospel at all. You think of the many millions and millions of people in this world who've never had the privilege to hear the gospel and have remained hardened in their heart to their Creator God, had never sought him. And here Jesus is referring to to people who had seen him, had heard him, had witnessed his miracles, and still they rejected him. And he said they are going to be more severely punished on the day of judgment than even the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Many of you, perhaps, have witnessed lives being changed in the miracle of God's grace. And some of you desire to have the same grace to you, and that the Lord will appear to you in his time as seeking souls. You seek to find him. But others here this evening may remain unmoved, may say in their hearts, "Oh, it's good for them, but it's not good for me. I'm doing things my way." Well, on the great day of judgment, the unsaved who have heard the gospel and witnessed life's change, the miracle of God's grace, yet willfully harden their hearts, will be more responsible than others before the Lord Jesus as their judge. This is the context of where Jesus is coming to in this wonderful invitation. Jesus now moves to prayer and to appeal. He thanks God that faith is not a matter of intellect. It is not a matter of greatness. It is not a matter of human wisdom. True faith is a gift of God. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes, to those that come in humility and in absolute dependence upon him. And he reveals Jesus Christ to such this evening. True faith is a gift from God, and it is given to those that come in total dependence upon the Lord. And he assures us here that Jesus does, that he and the Father are one, and they are united with the Holy Spirit in this work of saving grace. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. You see this connection between Father and Son and the work of the Holy Spirit in Revelation. Well, it is with this thought then uppermost in his mind, he proceeds to give his invitation and instruction. Oh, the Father in his wisdom, it seemed good in his sight to reveal Christ Jesus to those that come as babes in their dependence, in their weakness, in their humility. Now, in our verses then this evening, these two verses, 28, 29, and actually 30, as three verses, you will notice that they are mirrored in their construction. There is an invitation and an instruction. And contained in the invitation and the instruction, there is a what to do and a why to do it. There is an invitation and an instruction. And in the invitation, there is what to do and why to do it. And in the instruction, there is a what to do and a why to do it. And we follow this pattern of scripture this evening. And we start off then with the invitation. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What to do? Well, here there is an invitation. It is given to those who are weary and heavy laden. Come to Christ. Here the Lord was addressing people who were weighed down and heavy laden with religious regulations. You know, the religion of the scribes and Pharisees had no life. It had no joy. It had no peace. It was all do's and do-nots. The Sabbath day that had been developed by the scribes and Pharisees should have been a delight, but it was a day to be dreaded, knowing that there would be more of the same. It was to these people this invitation was given, to come to Jesus by faith, trusting in him, and be liberated in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we may relate that to our own experience this evening. You may have come in this evening. You may have been, you may be weighed down this evening by conviction of sin. Something that's happened in your life, something that you know about. It just will not go away. It weighs you down, and you don't know what to do with this burden. It weighs heavily, and it's you're reminded of it constantly. And Jesus says to you this evening, come to me. I will deal with this burden. Come to me, all you that are that labor and are heavy laden. Air guilt, bring it to the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, come. Our trials that we're enduring at the moment, Jesus says, come, you're weighed down by them. Jesus says, come to me. Your trials that you are going through, the future, how is the future going to unfold for you? The future is unknown, and you come to one that knows the future. It is in his hand, and he says, come to me. Come to me this evening. Or you may be bowed down by your health this evening. You may be a concern. How is my health? Am I really in good health? Is there a problem? Oh, dear friend, come. come to Jesus. He says, come to me this evening, all you that labour and are heavy laden. It may be your families that are burdening you this evening. Concerns in the families. And it weighs you down. It's a burden. And you go to bed with it at night and you wake up with it in the morning and it's going on and on. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus said. All you that labour and are heavy laden, come to me. And then it might be our work. We may be very bowed down with the commitments of our work. There may be very many calls on our time, and we find it's burdensome through the week, and we're bearing the heat and burden of the day. It's a toil, and we don't know how to we're going to be able to continue. It seems never ending. Jesus says, come. Come to me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. It may be the battle against our old nature. We know this battle, those of us who are already in the way. There is a warfare, and it's a daily battle. And we often fail, the old nature gets the better of us, and we find we're weighed down by it. The old man, Jesus says, bring it to me. Come to me. It's a personal call. Oh, friends, this is a very sincere invitation. Jesus invites you to come this evening with your burden and look to him alone. You know, when Esther, Queen Esther, went to see the king took hold of his golden scepter and pointed it out to Queen Esther that she might touch it. And that was the sign of acceptance. And as Queen Esther touched the golden scepter, it was a welcome. It was the king saying, come, come to me. And so this evening, Jesus Christ extends his golden scepter of grace. And he invites you to come and touch the golden scepter. Come to him as weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. Who is this man saying come this evening? Who is this man? Who has this right to say come? He is the Son of God. He is the second person in the Trinity. He has taken upon himself a body just like ours, and he has the authority to invite. His invitation is gracious, is sincere, he is holy, he is able, he is true, he has given his life that we might come to him. He has died upon Calvary's cross that we might come to him as needy sinners and be forgiven and be right with God. He alone has the authority to say, come. Only Jesus has this authority to say to you this evening, as a needy sinner, come. And here we are in 2016, and we have the inspired word of God still open to us. And God in Christ Jesus says this evening, come. Come to me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. And he invites you, knowing all about you. He invites you knowing about your burden. He invites you knowing about your sin. He invites you knowing about your trials. He invites you knowing about the past. He invites you knowing about the present. He invites you knowing about the future. So for you, it's simply a matter of coming. It's not complicated. You've not got to pass an exam. You've not got to run a marathon. You've not got to prove yourself to God in any way, because he knows you through and through. He knows you better than you know yourself. It's simply a matter of coming. Coming just as you are. This is the gospel. We come as sinners, convicted of our sin. But it's only sinners who are invited to come. Jesus came to save sinners. And it is sinners who are invited to come. Let us consider other times Jesus graciously said, come. What about Peter in the storm? And Peter wanted to know if it was Jesus walking on the water in the storm. And he said, if it is you, bid me come to you. And Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And you know the story, how when he saw all the waves and the billows around about him, he began to sink and he cried, Lord, save me. But this is the point. Jesus said to Peter, come, knowing that he would begin to sink, knowing that he would fail. Jesus knew all about Peter. Actually, Jesus knew that Peter would eventually backslide in such a way that he would blaspheme against his master just before he died at Calvary's cross. And Jesus still said, come. This is grace. Come. Jesus said to Peter, come. And Jesus says this evening, come. And you remember in the crowd who were celebrating in Jerusalem on that last great day of the feast. Oh, they'd had a good time together, a good time of socializing together. And there was the end of the feast, and they were facing going back to their homes and their families, and the humdrum of work, the toil of work, their workplaces and their places of employment, and it was the end of holiday feeling. You know how it is. How am I going to acclimatize myself again into the work mode and the pressure again? And to such people who were looking and were dependent upon a workspace religion of the Pharisees, Jesus cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If anyone thirsts, if anyone is tired of this world, if anyone is tired of man-made religion, if anyone is tired of their works, if anyone is tired of this legalism, if anyone is tired of the pressure of the world and cannot cope anymore, and is thirsting after something real and something wholesome, something for their inner being, Jesus says, come. Come to me and drink. And then the Lord Jesus spoke to the children. We have children with us this evening, and it's so good to have children with us. And the Lord Jesus said to the children, come. Come. You know, the disciples of Jesus, his followers, they shooed the children away when they wanted to go to Jesus, and they just shooed them away. They said, oh, Jesus doesn't have time for the children. Jesus doesn't have time for the children. But Jesus, we read, was very displeased. It's the one of the few times, children, we actually hear that Jesus was displeased. He had a righteous anger. He was actually very upset with the disciples. And he rebuked his disciples. And he said to the children, let the little children come to me. And do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Because Jesus is revealed to babes. Jesus isn't revealed to the proud. Jesus is revealed to those that come to him as little children. Except you become as little children, you will in no wise enter the kingdom. And then there will be the final come. And that is at the end of the world. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Jesus says, come. The hymn writer says, come, you sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. What to do? Come. Why? Because Jesus says he will give you rest. What does this rest mean? It's rest from a guilty conscience. It's rest from your own works, to rest in his works. The original word has the meaning of causing to cease what has been burdening you. It's like being liberated. It's like a burden has been lifted off you. Here is the promise of Jesus. A promise, a provision from his gracious hand. You know, this week has been incredibly hot for our country. We're not used to such heat. And many have been wearied and are seeking shade. We were at a wedding on Tuesday and it was a beautiful day. But we long for shade. Because the sun was very hot, we were not used to it. We sought the shade, and the shade was such a blessing. And in this experience, creatively, we can see spiritually the provision of rest given from Jesus. The writer in the Song of Solomon says, I sat under his shadow with great delight. Oh, I was bearing the heat and burden of the day, and I came under this tree, and I sat under this tree, and it was so cool in the midday sun. And it's a picture of coming to the Lord Jesus, and he's pictured as a tree with branches, and you can come, and you can sit under his shadow with delight. Oh, he has a provision, a rest, a provision of promises in which to meditate and depend upon and rest upon. A provision of promises. Sit under his shadow, the shadow of his promises, with great delight. The provision of grace to rest upon. A provision of mercy to dwell in. A provision of prayer to pour out your heart to the Lord. A provision of assurance in the wonderful faithfulness toward his people. A provision of cleansing through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls us to come and to receive and to rest in him. To rest in him as a person. And rest in his word. Come to me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. Well, the very first recorded invitation God gave in the Word of God that is revealed to us is to Noah. And Noah was told to come and rest in the ark, to come. And the Lord shut him in. This is the very first time we read of the invitation to come. Come. And outside of the ark was death and destruction. Inside the ark was safety and security, salvation. And that is what it is like with Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ is death and destruction. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. I will give you rest and security. So there's the invitation. What to do? Come. Why to come? Because Jesus will give you rest. A place which you can depend upon and rest assured in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, the instruction. What to do? Take my yoke upon you and learn of from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Here the Lord Jesus, in a short sentence, is revealing to us what it means to follow him. First of all, it means to surrender our life by faith to his leadership, to his guidance, to his care. Now the yoke is sometimes symbolized as a picture of submission and togetherness. And in that context, common then, in the day that these words were written, it was common for two oxen to be yoked together. But one of those oxen would be the leader. Along the way, the lead oxen sets a pace for the other to harmonize with. The leader leads in walking and in waiting. And here the believer in this symbolism is pictured as yoked to Christ, walking in harmony, in step with him, as their leader. But the other symbol used in scripture is in the singular. Again common to that day, which is of a man putting on a yoke to carry a burden. It is most likely that this symbol is meant here in this invitation. By faith we take upon a yoke that is given to us by Jesus Christ, a burden appointed for us by Jesus Christ, ordained by him for us to walk with him with this yoke, with this burden. And as we walk with Christ, we learn of him. It says very clearly here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Well, the first lesson we learn when walking with Christ, having to take his yoke upon us by faith, having taken his yoke upon us by faith, is his gentleness. You see, when we put on that, we take that yoke and put it upon us by faith, the yoke of Christ, that is the by faith following the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, identified with him, the first step is to learn of him. That's the purpose, to be yoked, to learn. It is Christ's learning school for us. It's a yoke that we take upon ourselves as instructed by Christ to learn about him. This is picture language, but it's speaking about a relationship between Christ and the believer. And the first step is to learn from Jesus. That's the purpose, to learn from him. And the first thing we learn about is that the Lord Jesus is gentle. And in the AV, it is meekness. It's an even deeper word. The word means Christ is approachable. He's kind in communication. He's assuring. He's patient with us. He's understanding. He is gentle and lowly in heart. This means that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made man, is humble. As we walk with him, we find his way is so different from the world's way of self-promotion. His manner of speech is wise, it's true, it's sincere. His spirit is humble and gracious. His manner of dealing with us is patient, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's understanding. And the purpose of walking with Christ is to know Christ by learning of him. Learn from me. That is what our calling is. Primarily to learn of Jesus. To learn about him. That we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the first two lessons we learn as we walk with Christ, as we respond to his invitation, we come just as we are, weary and heavy laden, and we find rest in Christ, rest in his finished work, rest in his person, rest in his wisdom, rest in his intercession, rest in his all-sufficiency. We then take a yoke upon us, that is our calling. We take up our cross and we follow him, and in doing so we learn from Jesus. We learn from Jesus. Paul said once that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So conversion leads to communion. If we profess conversion and have no desire for communion with Christ, we have to go back to the foundation and we have to ask ourselves, have I ever been converted? Now, you might find that desire for communion is weak at times. And sometimes it's almost, as it were, blanked out by the cares of this world. But if we've been truly converted, we will have a desire to know Jesus. We'll want to walk with him and we'll want to learn about him. And the first lesson we learn in walking with Jesus, the character of Jesus, is that he is gentle and he is lowly in heart. So therefore, it is impossible to be proud and arrogant and aggressive when walking with Christ. For he is gentle and lowly in heart. If we are in a spirit of pride or arrogance, it means simply we are out of step with Christ. We are not walking with Christ. Because walking with him will have the fruit of humility in our own lives. It may seem strange wherein Christ welcomes the weary and heavy laden, the burden to come to him. Then he tells them to take his yoke upon them. This might seem strange. Jesus has just invited you who are weary and heavy laden, and he will give you rest. And then the next verse he says, take my yoke upon you. It's almost like Jesus said, put one burden down and pick up another one. Oh, it might seem like that. Satan may tempt you to think it's like that, but it's not like that at all. Because the very motive of the yoke is totally different from Satan's yoke. Satan's yoke is cruel, it's unkind, it's damaging, it's destroying. If you are yoked to Satan, it means you will, and you remain yoked to Satan under his yoke, it means that we will be walking and dragged, as it were, to everlasting destruction. But with Christ's yoke, it's totally different. The yoke of Christ is gracious. We might say that the yoke of Christ is lined with love. Whereas Satan's yoke is all hard and cruel, the yoke of Christ is lined with love. And we find both the yoke and the burden we might be asked to carry under Christ's permissive will actually work in his kindness and care, work for our good spiritually. This is a great mystery, but it is all part of our preparation for heaven, and it forms part of our service for his glory and for his honor. The yoke of Christ is a yoke of love, and it comes from a man who is gentle and lowly in heart. The first lesson we learn when we're under the yoke of Satan is not to be gentle and lowly in heart. The first lesson we learn when we learn of Satan is to tell lies, is to be disobedient. We see it with our children as they grow up. They don't need to be told to lie. They don't need to be told to be disobedient. But as we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, that is the effect of learning of Satan, of learning of the world. We learn all the bad things. But when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we learn of him, we learn of this beautiful person, the first lesson we learn is that he is meek, he is gentle. The first lesson we learn is that he is humble in heart. What a difference. So the yoke that Christ puts upon us is such a positive yoke. It's such a blessed yoke. Well, what to do? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Why? And again, you will find rest for your souls. You will experience rest for your souls. The word here, the rest of the word, the meaning of the word rest here in verse 29, means given the ability to cope as you rest by faith in Jesus. It means given the ability to cope as you rest by faith in Jesus. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Whatever the situation that you are in this evening, there is always Jesus to walk with. Whatever the depth of the problem this evening, there is always Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Whatever the pathway, whatever the problem, there is one Jesus who promises to never leave you or forsake you, so that you can boldly say, I will not fear what man can do unto me. I have Jesus. And for those already in the way, I remind you to come to this rest again this evening. It has the application of restoration in your life, restoration of spirit. Just come. Come just as you are. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can this be? Because Jesus is with you. It's the yoke of Jesus that he's given to you. Well, there is a yoke then to be put on in following Christ. The burden, the pressure is under the control of Christ. He will not allow us to bear more than we are able. The yoke taken by faith is lined with love and gentleness. As the religious leaders placed burdens and more burdens on the people that they were unable to bear, Jesus allows us to bear the yoke for our good, for our building up spiritually, for our spiritual growth. Remember, it is Christ's yoke. Remember this. Please remember this evening. It says, not take a yoke, not take your yoke. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's Christ's yoke that he's given to you. It's appointed by Christ. Its load is controlled by Christ. It's bearable only under the supervision of Christ. And Christ ensures the yoke fits your experience, just where you are, your condition, your situation. What a difference is the yoke of Christ compared with the yoke of Satan. One is made light because of Christ. The other, Satan's yoke, like the slave masters of Egypt, cruelly increases the burden. Christ ensures the load is bearable, always laden with the spirit of kindness for our good spiritually. But finally now this evening, I come to conclusion. My time is gone. The issue for us this evening is, how much do we trust? That's the issue. Here is the invitation. I've tried to preach to you this evening the wonder of the giver of the invitation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the sincerity of his invitation, the one who says, come. This was a question given to a lady called Rebecca in the Old Testament. Abraham's master had gone to seek a wife for his servant Isaac, and he had told all the gathered Laban and all the gathered family all about his master. He'd spoken well of his master. He'd spoken well of Isaac. He'd spoken well of the God that Abraham worshipped and the God that Isaac worshipped. And after she'd heard this testimony and the invitation to come to be the wife of Isaac, Rebecca's asked this question: will you go with this man? Will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now this evening, you have heard about Jesus. Here is his invitation. Jesus invites you to come. Will you go with the perfect man this evening? How much do you trust him? How much do you trust the giver of the instruction? How much do you trust the wisdom of the yoke that he's asking you to put on? How much do you value the benefit of having rest for your soul? Where are you finding rest this evening for your inner being? Learn of Christ and you will find rest for your souls, pardon, reconciliation, peace with God, quietness in the mind. Learn of the philosophers of this world and you will find more restlessness for your mind. Learn of Christ and you will find peace of mind. But it comes to the same issue this evening. Do you trust him? Do you trust him with your life? Is Christ trustworthy? Is he faithful? Is he wise? And if the answer to this question is yes, and it is most certainly, assuredly yes, then come. God the Father, who knows the Son perfectly, cried from heaven, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him. The hymn writer said, come my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. Thou art come into a king, Large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much. With my burden I begin, Lord, remove this load of sin. Let thy blood for sinners spilt set my conscience free from guilt. Lord, I come to thee for rest. Take possession of my breast. There thy blood bought right maintain, and without a rival reign. That's a picture of someone coming, just